We are the Ladies with Gumption. We recap DCTV in a flash, and this is episode 176, Disruptor Types. I am Tatiana, and I am here with
Jessica
and May.
You can find our podcast here now that you're listening to it, but also you can tweet us at DCTVGumption. You can email us at ladieswgumption@gmail.com or send us asks on Tumblr at ladieswgumption.tumblr.com. The podcast itself you can listen to on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and Patreon for the low, low price of $10 a month. We will talk about anything and everything that you want to listen to. MCU, HBO Max, popular Netflix series, such as, coming up, You Season 3, very belatedly. And you can find that at patreon.com/DCTVGumption.
This gives us time to think about what we're going to say. All the conversation has already happened.
Exactly. And now, news. First off, there is an Arrowverse comic book, a 6-issue crossover featuring Batwoman, Superman and Lois, Stargirl, Legends, and The Flash, which is very interesting because some of them are not, like, totally in the same world. So I would like to see them come together. What are our thoughts on this existence?
Well, it's also being written by writers on the shows.
Nice.
Nice or not nice, depending on if you like the writers on your show.
Yeah, well, true. But at the very least, you can be assured of, like, continuity making sense.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be considered canon, correct?
Yes. One thing I thought was interesting, and because, like, the first two issues that are coming out, I think Batwoman is first, and then Superman and Lois is the next one. But in the Batwoman synopsis, it mentioned a storyline for Luke. And part of that storyline is, like, what does he get up to when he's not on the job, which is something that we've all wondered all the time. And it also mentioned, like, him as a boyfriend. I'm like, hold up, what? Wait? We have not even seen any kind of thing to suggest that there are people out there that he was dating. So I'm really curious to see if, because it said boyfriend in the description, but I don't know if they just meant, like, a boyfriend type, or it's just, like, you know, his first date, or, you know, and who it is. Is it Stephanie? Like, did she come back? Or, I mean, I feel like you can't say it's Mary.
Just because, no, you definitely can't. You know. I feel that's a little bit frustrating, too, because, I mean, for me, I would want to see that on the show. I don't want to wait until the comic comes out to read about Luke's, you know.
Well, the good thing about that, too, is that Cameras is writing it. So, you know, mm-hmm. that he has, if somebody cares about Luke, it's Cameras.
He's so. Like, I'm trying to give Luke a dating life. So.
Yeah.
I support it.
But yeah, I mean, I'm interested to see what they come up with, because I feel like this is also another example of them not necessarily having to cross over in live action. So, like, leaving mm-hmm. it to the comics to do that, where they don't have to, you know, put everybody's schedules together and do all that. So in that regard, it's a little bit exciting, and just to see what they can come up with from, aside from, like, the storylines we see on their shows. So,
and I'm like, it's like a crossover, so I guess they can't really say the synopsis of all of them, because you might get, like, an idea of what is actually happening. But I do, because mm-hmm. Flash, I think, is, like, either the last or next to last. I just want to know what the story is about, like, who's going to be the players involved in the story. You know what I mean? Namely, Iris. So, yeah.
Well, on another flashy note, we got the season 8 sizzle reel, now with more tornado sibs. What did we think?
I watched it on mute, so I don't really know what's actually happening in the season, but, you know,
offense.
Kids are always very cute together, and that's exciting. I'm excited to see, like, I guess the extension of the scene from when they left after the vow renewal.
I want to know who the girl was that was talking to. That's the only thing that I care about right now. This is the only, like, unknown for me, because she's like, can I tell you a secret? I'm from the future. He's like, oh my God, me too. And it's played, like, funny, like, you know, because Bart is actually from the future. But mm-hmm. I'm wondering, is she just, like, has a big imagination because she's no friends? She's like, I'm from the future. Or is she actually, like, somebody from the future? Or like, why include that in the trailer if she's not somebody that's interesting, you know?
Yeah.
I could be thinking, like, way too far into it, but...
character that they said would be coming in the second half?
Oh, my God, yeah. Is that her? The girl that was, like, I don't know. The girl that's connected to Iris' storyline, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah. I don't remember that she's name, but I feel like hopefully it all connects together. Because, I mean, the trailer seemed cute and all, but, like, there was kind of a lack of Iris. I'm like, what is she going to be up to? I mean, there's a lack of everyone.
There's a lack of everybody.
Yeah, it was right. Heavily focused on Bart and Nora. But...
And there's, like, a lot of repeat of the whole level up thing, which I hope to God is just, like, recycled footage.
Yeah. There was some recycled footage in there. So hopefully that's the case. Otherwise, yeah, I mean, I'm glad that they're at least advertising for it early on to remind people that, yes, true, it's going to be on a new night.
True.
Guys. So-
Yes, I am glad that we're getting some advertisement, too. Thank goodness. I almost forgot that The Flash was, you know, coming back at all. But thank you for the reminder. And then finally, many members of the Flash cast are doing, like, a theater piece. I'm not sure if it's, like, a reading or, like, a one-act play or, like,
they're
shorts.
They're doing a reading of reading. 5 different scenes from a playwright. And it's Candace, Grant, Jesse, and Michelle Harrison.
And John Wesley Shipp.
John Wesley Shipp. So
all the premium
important
actors.
People from the Flash are going to be in there. So that's pretty exciting, actually.
Yeah.
And I would like to know, like, which works and who's doing what, but I guess you have to pay a donation to get details.
Ooh, okay, we gotta donate.
Mm. It's a donation to, I think it's some Vancouver-based charity is what they're doing it for.
Mm-hmm. That's nice.
Oh, I do have one other piece of news. James Gunn did a interview with Deadline, I think, and he mentioned that he had talked to WB about doing another spinoff from the Suicide Squad.
Mm-hmm.
So there's speculation on who that would be. And it's very strongly suggested that Peacemaker will get a season 2, which, by the way, if you have not started watching it, it is fucking hilarious. So,
I just watched the first episode and I thought it was so funny. I was not
expecting
it. It's
so great. And, like, even, like, the opening intro, they have, like, a choreographed, like, dance intro. It's just, like, amazing. So, watch Peacemaker. All right, that's my spiel.
I love
watch
it.
We will watch it because we're going to talk about it eventually, so.
Of course.
Watch it with us and then send us your comments and thoughts.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, eventually we can all talk about it together, and I love that for us. Anyway, on to the format of this week's podcast, as usual. We will do all 3 shows from the DC TV universe this week. We will share our joys. We will share what did not bring us joy. We will talk feedback. And we will crown a Lady with Gumption of the Week. And it will be May, who takes it away with Naomi.
Yes, so side A, starting off with Naomi, Alien Rosetta Stone. And Naomi gets guidance from Dee as she learns to harness her powers, all while juggling her everyday life as a teenager finishing her college application, even though she has no idea what to write about with her essay because she's too caught up in trying to figure out things about her past. And as Naomi's obsession with uncovering answers has her and her friends engaging in dangerous behavior, Zumbaru seeks out the help of an old friend, Akira, to help further his plans because he believes Naomi is the key to reuniting 29 figures from their planet who seemingly all have some sort of power. But Kira and Zumbaru are not exactly on the greatest of terms, something having to do with something he did that maybe might have gotten them stuck on this planet. We don't know. So what sparked joy in this episode?
I like the introduction of a new player. Like, I seriously had to pause. I was like, I know her. Who is she? She's Law and Order. I know that much. I was, like, trying to go on Google and find, like, all the ADAs that have ever been on Law and Order.
I think she was, right?
In the universe. And then someone tweeted me. She's like, oh, this ADA Cabot, Alex Cabot. And I was like, yes, thank you. So I'd like her just as an actress and having her in this scene. And there's, like, new layers with Zumbaru and what it is he is actually, like, what kind of player he is in this situation. And I want to know more about their connection to the 29's connection to the disc, what it means with like Naomi being the key. How is all of that working? What planet is she from? What planet are they from? You know, I think everybody's like Krypton and like the language is in Kryptonese. So I'm like, you know, what is going on? So I'm really, really interested in that side of this story. That's probably like my favorite side of the show. I did like the with her connection tuning with like D, and they had like a mini Karate Kid moment where he's like, you must, you know, wait, grasshopper, like wax on, wax off kind of thing with like the tennis balls, even though she wasn't trying to hear that. But it's like a nice kind of trope in mentor mentee training sessions. Young person thinks that they have power so they can do it all and all that kind of stuff. So I enjoyed that. I also liked that we got another new player in terms like front on D side with Adam Blake, who I didn't know who he, I just thought he was like a dude, an alien dude with powers. But apparently like people that are really into comics and like into the minute players in the comics, he is like a captain somebody.
Captain Comet.
Captain Comet, yeah. Do not know, but I'm sure for people that read comics, they're like, oh my God, I know you. So good for them. I did like the confirmation of my suspicions that her parents were shady and knew that she was an alien all along. Like they tried to trick us in last episode, but in this episode, you know, there were certain times, especially when her mom was getting upset. I was like, told her to be home by like 6 o'clock. And then she was like, no, actually I'm going to be home like 8 or something like that. And then her parents were just like really upset, even though they know what kind of child Naomi is. And, hold on. Even though they know like what kind of child Naomi is and that, she, you know, she texted them to just let her know where she was. They were still like irrationally, it seemed like upset. I'm like, are you, I feel like you're upset because you know that the military did a raid on Adam Dude's place and they're like hunting aliens like actively. So I feel like they were upset because she was out there and she's an alien. They knew that. And so it was nice to have that confirmation. It was also nice that they both came, like Naomi and her parents both came to a realization at the same time. They needed to be truthful with each other. So that all kind of came together really, really nicely. What else? I think we kind of like speculated this last week and it was proven right this week that the love interests are on like a weekly rotation. So like this week was like Lourdes's chance to be center stage love interest. And I like their scenes together and it always feels, I don't think we get as much with Nathan as we should. Even like the first episode we got some, but there's also like some Anthony in there. So I don't feel like Nathan's really had his time to shine. But aside from Nathan, I feel like she has the most supercharged scenes with Lourdes. Like, it's very, you know, right there, especially compared to Anthony. Like, poor Anthony. Just it's very one. It feels very one-sided with Anthony, but it feels very both-sided with Lourdes. And so I feel like she's much more responsive to Lourdes and, like, all the innuendos there, if that makes sense. So, you know, that was good for Lourdes, but... Yeah.
I definitely am glad for Lourdes and glad for myself, because as much as I actually do like Nathan, I was very glad to not have as much of the guys in general this episode and just get more of a girls episode, whether it was Lourdes and Naomi having their moments or more of Annabelle being an awesome bestie. Speaking of which, I really did love all the little, like, investigation times Naomi and Annabelle were doing, like, their little plot to get Zimbardo out of the car dealership office so that they could search through it. It was a lot of fun. Also, Dee is shaping up to be a much better mentor. You know, he's, like, more informative and communicative and, you know, even has little one-liners about his thoughts on Naomi's progress or lack thereof. Speaking of, in general, I'm glad that there was, like, an introduction of conflict with the parents. Like, that the parents were disturbed by how she was behaving and that they were wanting her, you know, they were, like, somewhat either, like, disappointed with her. And it felt like her previous characterization as, like, practically perfect in every way was kind of coming to haunt her because it's, like, such a shock now that she's behaving so differently. And then it makes her feel like she has more to live up to than she might have if she had just been a normal kid. So I like that. It felt more realistic than perhaps it did in previous episodes. Plus the fact that we got the reveal that her parents have known all along, and them bringing her into their secret, just as she, which is really her own secret, just as she was going to confess to them, was like a nice little full circle moment. And then them taking her to that little spot and the lights glow, the little letters or whatever, the Kryptonian whatever nonsense. I love that too. All very exciting. Glad that it seems like Barry Watson, whose name I always forget in the show, is going to be pulling like some kind of like double duty, right? Like a double agent for his job. Great. So that'll be interesting to see where that goes.
Oh, yeah.
also, I definitely did like that it wasn't just like little like innuendos and flirtation with Lord Izanami, but it does feel like they do connect on another level. Like they were able to talk about like have a real conversation. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and her conversation about, like, you know, it doesn't matter that she dropped out of school because she sees people that she wants to see. Yeah,
yeah, that was cute, too.
Wink, wink.
But also her sharing the story about the reason that she had to drop out, you know, yeah, like how that has worked out for her.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it just felt like, you know, Lord is just, like, her own real person that I can understand and connect to now more so than, as of yet, I can the boys, Nathan and Man. Other man.
Anthony.
Yes, Anthony. Thank you. Okay, so Akira is the name of mysterious alien lady. Love their conversation was very intriguing. I'm invested in the mystery and like, why are the aliens being hunted? What are the aliens gonna do? What's happened to the, you know, the world they did come from? What are their plans for Earth? Etc. 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 Overall, the world building this episode was very good, and I feel like the show is finding its way more and more. So I'm looking forward to how the rest of the season plays out.
Yeah, same. I think the mystery is going along at a great pace. We're not getting all the answers in one episode. I love the fact that her, you know, like Jess said, there's reason to always have suspected her parents because it was building up towards something. So even though I laugh and they're like, you know, she's like, you never asked where I was, who I was with or where I was. I was like, really? Never?
Kind of right? Funny. I'm like, how small is this town?
But I mean, I'm glad. I guess they trust her so much. But even then, it's very unparent-like of them. But the fact that they were overprotective of her for a very specific reason, and the fact that they felt the need to finally tell her the truth after so long, and even like a joy in the previews that she's not going to take it well because, you know, like we mentioned in the first couple of episodes, everything just seemed so hunky-dory with them. And you're like, something, the shoe's about to drop. And it's going to. So all of that was really great. I buy the tension between them because they had such an open relationship with each other. And now that's no longer the case. So that was intriguing in and of itself. I also love the stuff with Dee and her training because, you know, she does have these powers, but it's sort of just like a Smallville origin story, if you will, that each episode her powers continue to grow, but she's not able to use them all at once because she can't handle it yet. So I like that he's there kind of walking her through all of these things because she's kind of jumping into it without realizing that power, you know, great power comes great responsibility, and she needs to take her time to figure out how she can use them properly without hurting herself or anybody else. So I love that. And also just the stuff with Zumbaru because, like, he gets more interesting every episode. Like, there's something about him that's revealed and you're like, okay, so where is this going? And I like the fact that he now has someone to talk to, and that person is Akira, who also seems equally as interesting. And, you know, their whole conversation was like shrouded in mystery, but I was very intrigued in that mystery. I was like, oh, what's happening with 29? You know, what planet do they come from? What's going to happen? Why is Naomi the key? And all that stuff was really, I think, well done in general, because like I said, the pacing of the mystery is going really well and it's not trying to overload us with anything. So appreciated all of that. And just like the continuing Scooby-Doo like adventures with Naomi and her friends she's always like roping them into something, except I love that this time around, it was kind of tied to something very high school-y in terms of going on a trip to a college and kind of getting the tour. and all that and worrying about her college application, which I felt was very kind of true to the high school experience, because I was going to say we haven't really been getting much of the high school experience. So I'm glad they were dropping in the fact that, you know, she's still 16, 17 years old, and, you know, 16, 17 year olds go through these types of things. So appreciated that stuff too. I think that's it. What did not spark joy?
So I'm going to preface this by saying that we did get an Anon on Tumblr that I feel like they're feeling the same way that I'm feeling, because they're like, you know what, I don't know that this show is hitting me like it's supposed to hit. And they're just like, I don't know if I'm feeling it. You know, I want to. I really like interaction between like Laurie's Annabelle D and her parents. The boys, they're just like fighting over here and I don't know what to do, blah, 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 blah. And I kind of understand, because I feel like I'm too old for this show. like I'm outside the demographic on some parts. There is half of this show that I really enjoy. I really enjoy the mystery of Naomi's like alien origin, the comic-y part of it, which are all the more adult storylines. So that's where all the aliens are. And that's where all the politics are, with what the mystery of like this side and this side both want something from Naomi, and what do they want and who are they and all that kind of stuff. But the actual storylines of the kids and their relationships, I feel like is really weak, and it makes me disengage. And I don't feel like, I think mainly, you know, I get what like Tati was saying about like how it doesn't really feel like Naomi has a lot of conflict and blah, 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 blah. But I think for me too, the main thing that I have an issue with is I feel like everything Naomi does doesn't have to be a group project. We don't need everybody. Like Naomi will have like a thing and she'll start talking to Annabelle about it. And it's like, and they're like, okay, we should go off and do this. I'm like, yeah, you two go off and do this. But then they're like, hey, third, fourth, fifth, sixth person, we're going to go off and do this. You want to stay here? It's like, no, let's all go off and do this in a big old game. It's like, you want to know why you keep getting in trouble and keep getting caught? It's because you're all in a big fucking group. Split up. Give me like different like dynamics and stuff like that. And I've already talked about like the love interest not being very interesting stories. But I also just feel like because everything they do, and they only group up when it's time to go Scooby-Dooing. They don't really do things just to do them. So I don't really feel like any of the other characters outside of Annabelle and Naomi's relationship is the strongest. I like that they did later in the episode get to do something together, just the two of them. But all of the others are blobs. They don't really have really, you know, in-depth character motivations or, you know, I know just like one thing. I know Nathan likes soccer. I know that Jacob likes robots and Lourdes is gay and likes comics. And, you know, Anthony is there. Anthony likes Naomi. And I don't really know, like, you know, I feel like we did get to see more of Lourdes this episode, which was good. But I just feel like I wish they didn't have to do things as a six, and they could do things in like threes and twos, you know, without Naomi, something. So yeah. Oh, and like I feel like in the group settings, like Lourdes is just kind of, she's always like the least natural way to add into these situations because she doesn't go to school with them. She just kind of like randomly happens to show up. So I thought like when she happened to show up on the college tour, I just thought it was kind of like a weird transition. Like they had already formed a group and she's like, oh yeah, and Lourdes. So I thought it was kind of like not the most natural transition, but yeah.
I don't disagree with it not being the most natural transition. And I feel like it just would have made more sense for her to have been an old friend of Naomi's, who then they spend less time with because she dropped out, right? And then they start reconnecting at this point. Like, that would have just been, like, more interesting, because then you have, like, something to fall back on for them and more reason for why they would be eager to have Lourdes instead of just, like, I saw you in the comic book shop that time and everyone knows you have a crush on me. but anyway, aside from that, I do agree that it does still feel like the group project of it all does make everything feel a little more superficial, because there's not, like, special connections being made between Naomi and different people. Like, I'm not feeling like necessarily like a different vibe from her connection.
And you can't if they're all together all the time.
Exactly. And it would be there's nothing wrong with like pairing them up in different ways for different episodes to have like different missions, right? If Annamelle goes off with Lourdes and then they have some kind of like, you know, maybe she makes a decision about whether or not she thinks that now we should date Lourdes, and then either starts, you know, trying to pair them up after that or trying to separate them or whatever, you know? And then I know obviously Naomi does get a little bit more time with each love interest in those episodes, but still like the only time that I really felt like, oh, okay, I like this dynamic is in this episode with her and Lourdes, whereas previously I don't really feel like I don't get like a different vibe because it's like, hey, dude that likes me, I also kind of like you. Don't worry. We'll see. So it's like, okay, thanks.
You're still in the running towards becoming America's Next Top Model.
Exactly. No one's getting eliminated this week. But anyway, aside from that, while I do like the mystery, like all the stuff with the disc, I don't know what was going on with the disc. And like at one point it was like, it wasn't really, I literally don't remember what happened. I just remember that D was like, it wasn't really there or something. I was like, what? What does that mean?
I feel like it was he made like a decoy or something. And then he like called it back with his Bluetooth disc.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't care.
And it's connected to her powers, which is why the words started to show up.
Yeah.
Or like light up or whatever.
So overall, I still have like the same kind of complaint that I've had in the previous ones, which is just that I would like there to be a little bit more of like an individual problem that needs to be solved, which there was kind of in this episode with her parents, which I liked, right? There was like a mini story within the larger story. But if we got to see her use her heroism, because we know she has it, but she hasn't really been tested in that way, only in like the let me uncover more things way, I guess. So I would like there to be a test. You know, maybe she needs to save one of her friends. We can start small, baby steps. Mm-hmm. But since we don't, it's like the villain is also undefined so far, like the government, I guess. But the government's not really, we don't know what they're doing. So that's all. I just want to see like an opening to how she will be important to the community or society or whatever. There you go.
Yes. I agree with what's been said. I mean, basically like, I think the show would benefit from having not a monster of the week, but something happening besides them investigating the mystery. Mm-hmm. Like we saw them having to deal with, you know, college applications and stuff like that. I would like to see them more in their element at the school. Like, what does their school life look like? When do they hang out? Because like you said, Jess, you know, they only kind of all come together when it's time to go investigating. But like, what do their relationships look like outside of that? And I feel like maybe they're trying to bring everybody together because they all have connections to Naomi specifically, but I feel like that's also harming their characterizations because we don't really know anything about them, and they often feel too one-dimensional for me to actually care. Like if they did team up with each other outside of Naomi, like would I want to watch them my screen? I would not.
But if they had developed them, then
exactly. So I feel like they should take a page out of Legends book
they should,
because then they can actually know how to pair up each character and can give you a different dynamic, and we can learn more about all of them, including Naomi, because you're giving us these different pairings, and like each person has a different characteristic and whatever.
I would also like to see more aliens do stuff because, like, no one knew aliens existed and Naomi's already found, like, two. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think it would be interesting if, like, you know, because the other, outside of Annabelle, none of the other kids know that Naomi is an alien. So I think it would just be, like, interesting if, like, Nathan was, you know, kicking a soccer ball somewhere, and then all of a sudden he sees some like alien type shit, and he's like, "Oh my god, I saw this!" And, you know, and there was like a thing for it, like, you know, you build a story around that. And I also feel like, how are these aliens like? They are just doing a really good job of just like blending in for so long. Did none of them? You know, and the government's only now just become aware of them. Like,
and why are they all in Port Oswego?
Right. What happened there? You know.
Yeah. Exactly. So, just kind of sprucing up the characters and just having a little bit more activity besides just the mystery. Because I think the only issue with that is that when they finally, Naomi finally realizes everything about her past, like, what's next?
You know? Yeah, where do you go from there?
Exactly. So we need something else to help boost the story and carry it through whenever she does figure everything out. Did we have any feedback from anybody?
Swara did.
All right. Naomi was really good this week, even while I was annoyed with the parents. Them going nuclear over her getting in trouble once and being slightly past curfew was too much. I was so afraid that they would turn out to be part of the villain group or something. Thankfully, that's not the case. They were just super worried instead about Naomi discovering the truth that they found her on an alien altar in the forest. The execution could have been better, though. I love Lourdes. Choose her, Naomi. Not that she has to choose, but since apparently she has to. I love how the show is incorporating DC Comics the way it is, like with the Zatanna storyline. Also, the Comet Man cameo was interesting. I hope we get more cameos of other DC heroes. What is Mbato getting up to? I agree with either y'all or the Naomi podcast that he's likely a red herring for whoever the real villain is. Can't wait for next week. I think we did say that he's probably red herring, but I don't know that we said it in those words. But
yeah, we just said like he is so obviously bad that he can't be. And even if he, like, that's why, like, the conversation with Akira was, like, really interesting to me, because it seems like he did so. Like, I feel like he led a group. He thought he was doing something. It turned out not to be a good thing. There was a mistake that was made, and now they're stuck. And so, you know, but is he wrong? I don't know yet. So we shall find out soon, hopefully.
Indeed. Any predictions?
I guess Zumbadu is my prediction. That was my
exactly.
Prediction.
That's the prediction. Zumbadu, thanks.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Moving into side B. Failures of Tomorrow / Renaissance. The legends are tired of being chased by an evil AI and her robo-soldiers, so Sarah decides to create an aberration that will allow the team to take back the evil Wave Rider. However, the legends find themselves in a bar for time travelers called the Fix Point, which is popular for them, leaving Sarah questioning her odds at winning and trying to change the First World War, or the start of it anyway. With Behrad and Astra growing closer, Zari and Spooner are forced to awkwardly interact with each other as the rest of the legends are paired up on the mission. Meanwhile, Ava hears Gwyn's plan to save his boyfriend, and Ava is forced to remind him of the consequences if he succeeds, and also to remind him that he, like everyone else, does deserve to be happy and in love. What sparked joy?
Well, that sparked joy. I did love Ava's conversation with Gwyn, or just in general, her plotline with Gwyn of trying to get him to see that he does not need to be, like, self-flagellating forever. And I did like that they approached it as a conversation about religion without being disrespectful to his faith, mm-hmm. while still, you know, trying to make him see that that should not supersede his self-love. So that was all very nice. Just from the start, I loved everyone trying to guess what Nate's drawings represented. And at first I thought, like, okay, they're not going to show them because it just would be too, like, it's just impossible to capture this. But then they did show it and it was still brilliant. Also, the way they explained how ridiculously the assassination of Archduke Franz Ferdinand went down made me realize that the Kingsman movie actually was correct. Because I remember when I was watching that movie and I was like, what the fuck is this? How is that the assassination of Franz Ferdinand? And that is what happened. So thank you, legends, for teaching me that Kingsman was correct. anyway, I also loved Spooner coming out to Zari as asexual and then having that whole conversation was beautiful. I love that. We stan representation. Everyone forgets about asexuals. They also exist. Yay! I'm glad that we saw Eobard Thawne and we got to see Matt Lesher's Eobard Thawne. And it was fun, you know, for him and Sarah to be, like, reluctantly teaming up, but also still not trusting each other. I'm intrigued. I'm ready for next week's episode, next week's side of it. Also, just Gideon's, like, plan in the first place to lure the robo-legends in, and they're like, oh my god, that's so diabolical. And she learned from the best, and she looked at Astra, and there was a smile, and it was so cute. I love that. also, Sarah getting to use her indestructibility to her advantage, and the whole, like, peanut gallery of time travelers trying to mess up the events and, like, mocking her for continued mess-ups was fun. And then, of course, at the end, they're like, we were just jealous because we saw the greatness in you. So yeah, so just lots of fun things were happening there. And that is, and I didn't have any qualms about it because I don't know anyone who was in World War One.
I forgot that Sarah was indestructible. And so when the whole premise of, you know, if you go out and then time killing you, like Final Destination style, I was like, oh my God, they only have one shot to do this. How are they going to, I mean, they obviously they're not going to finish in one shot. So how are they going to do this? And then Sarah like dies and comes back to life. Like, oh yeah, okay, this is totally doable now. So that was much better. I just love even like the beginning. I love that there was a twist to Gideon's declaration from last week. Cause when she said it, we were like, okay, you know, it is different from, and I guess it's not a bad thing to stop a world war, but I don't know how you're going to pull this off and call it a day and not have anything happen. So I love that the twist was that she wasn't saying that she wanted to prevent World War One forever or permanently, just like a little bit to trap the evil legends. So I thought that was really good. Nate being a crappy drawer was really funny. And I also just enjoyed him in general in this episode as a wingman to Sarah. And I feel like that's his natural position within the team. And not having anything to do with his love life or with Zari. I feel like he's just so much better as a right hand and default second in command to the co-captains. I like that he is there to kind of talk Sarah through her doubts and just say, you know, don't listen to them and you can do it, kind of like, you know, cheerleader for her and someone that she can actually talk to on a peer level, because all the other legends are kind of newer on the team. Now that Mick is gone, he's like the oldest in seniority on the ship. So I like their conversations. And the fact that, you know, since Ava's helping Gwen, he is a person that Sarah can lean on in the field. I also love the concept of just like the fixed point bar in general. I like that there's like other time travelers that are coming here and playing like a Deadpool style game of who wins at assassinating this person without dying. I like that there's like Final Destination style concept that in the fixed point, time is going to do whatever it has to do to stop you from messing it up. I like that Gideon had an existential crisis over that and the fact that she did not know everything. I like that this episode was very LGBT. I don't care a lot about Gideon as a character, but I did care that he thought that he didn't deserve love, that he was planning on being miserable forever. Like, I'm going to save Alan and then just never see him and it'll be fine because then I'll still invent time travel because I'll still be miserable. And I thought it was a really surprisingly heavy story. Like last week when we were in hell doing the reality TV show, I thought it was like hilarious when he's like saying a prayer or anything about God and he's just getting like, you know, bleeped out because that's like their curse words. But here they took it seriously as in, you know, oh, this really is a huge part of his character, his faith and his religion and feeling like God won't love him if he is in love with a man, that kind of thing. And I like how much that affected Ava as well. So I thought their scenes were really nice. And then on top of that, we get Spooner and Zari at the bar. And at first when I went through like a roller coaster of emotions, because at first when Zari was like, do the smash, marry, kill, and she gave like three boys, I'm like, Zari, she doesn't even go there. No. And then she's like, I don't even go there. And I was like, oh my God, Spooner gay confirmed. And then she gave her three girls. She's like, you know what? I don't really go here either. I'm like, oh my God, Spooner ace confirmed. So I thought that was really, I was really very pleased with how that whole storyline like unfolded. The fact that it was Zari, because Zari is like the very high emotional intelligence character in the group. So I like that, how kind of naturally it came out and how she kind of helped Spooner to that realization. I like that there is a sexual representation in the show, because like you said, Tati, like you don't get that I don't even know if I know another ace character from a show. Like you just don't see it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So this, it was, it's really
not talked about at all.
It's not talked about at all. So this is great, you know, for a coming out for Spooner. So I really love that. It was one of my favorite parts of the episode. Yeah.
Blessed. Yeah.
Another solid episode for Legends. I'm really liking the back half of the season very much. I think that they're coming up with really creative ways to, you know, spice up time travel. And I'm, you know, when they, as soon as they said, we're going to get the Wave Rider back, I was like, do we have to, though? I feel like y'all are doing great on your own without the Wave Rider. So it's been interesting to see, like, how they've come up with all these storylines to just maintain interest, and I think that they've been doing a really good job. I love also the twist on Gideon's, you know, let's kill Archduke Ferdinand from last week into, like, let's trick the evil Legends into thinking we're gonna, you know, kill Archduke Ferdinand, and then realizing that there are other time travelers, which makes a lot of sense because, you know, time is fluid or whatever. And then, like, if you have the future, I'm sure they've come up with different ways to use time travel. You also have Thawne thrown into the time travel episode with about time travelers too. So all of that made a lot of sense. And it was really interesting to see kind of like how that one episode with the space bowling or whatever, that we have a community of people who just show up to watch a show and are entertained because they've tried to also save, you know, save the Archduke. And also some people are just entertained by the idea that people are going to try to save the Archduke. And I feel like we had that with the Legends and the little group who kept laughing at them the whole time.
I call them like the Gen Z time travelers. Like, oh, you're trying to make like a Gen Z millennial.
You guys are going to try to do this.
Yeah.
They're like, excuse me, old? So I love that whole dynamic. I also really loved Nate and Sarah because I do think that they always had such a great friendship in general. And he's always been super supportive. You know, she's relied on him in the past. And here he's also being like her cheerleader and trying to maintain her hope that, yes, we can do this. We just have to go through all the scenarios and fail because that's what we're good at. So all of that was really, really fun. I also like the fact that we still got some aspect of Astra Behran, even though we didn't go, you know, because they said we're going to take it slow. So, you know, they did take it slow. We got hints, little bits and pieces, them going off on their own, or Behran trying to say it, something that would impress Astra. So that was cute. And I loved the dynamic between Zari and Spooner so much because it's true, they haven't really interacted, and Legends always makes it a point to have all of their characters interact separately from the group. And I really loved their dynamic at first, like how awkward it was. They're like, we don't really have anything in common, what do we talk about? And then leading into the revelation that Spooner was asexual was very nice. I think it was just a lovely moment that wasn't like over the top, and it wasn't like way too subtle. It was just like the right balance of, mm-hmm. you know, emotion. And so I'm very happy that the show finally did that, because they have such a range of characters who come from, you know, who have different sexualities and whatever. And so it was nice to have asexuality included in the show as well. What else? I just love the little montage that saw Sarah kind of going out each time to try to kill the assassinator.
Oh yeah, that was hilarious.
So funny. Like, you know, a thousand ways to die. Like, how can time kill Sarah?
Right.
You know, like, what was that? This movie, it's like Happy Death Day or whatever.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, making so, little changes to try and like stay alive.
Yeah, the whole sequence was just really great. I think she pulled it off really, really well. It was very entertaining. And what else? I love the, even like the reveal that Thawne was behind it, because if it's not like actual time, it's somebody who can manipulate time. So I like the fact that, you know, his addition in this episode made sense within the story, even though I have my prediction about that. So yeah, I think it's just another solid episode, and just like leading towards the big confrontation with the Robo Evil Legends was really fantastic. And oh, of course, I forgot Gwyn and Ava. You guys already mentioned it, but it was great to see how Ava was adamant that yes, Gwyn should want to have love for himself, because, you know, he's a God-fearing man and everything, but he should not have to punish himself just because he is a gay man. And so that was a very nice conversation. So they balanced humor and emotion. Mm. So well. What did not spark joy?
I already said I did love that scene with Ava and Gwyn, but I did think the love is love part. Because I said it so sincerely that I was like, okay, you are quoting Lin-Manuel Miranda. This is... It just felt like a weird parody that it was not meant to be. He would have just said the love is love the one time. And it would have been fine. But anyway, I do find it weird. Like, Eobard just feels like a really, like, subdued version. Like, you know, the time variance authority from the DC universe instead of the Marvel universe got to him. And, like, now he's, like, I don't know, gotten himself in order or he's all shaped up. And now he's, you know, protecting World War One, which God knows that we need to protect that. But yeah, so it just seems weird to me to like see this version of him with like no reference to the Flash or right. to like Barry, because like overall the Flash, his whole life is Barry and thinking about ways to destroy Barry. So I'm like, where does this fit in the timeline? Right. Which I guess is like always true of Legends, but it feels like it's never felt more true than now.
Yeah. I said it was like Zenthon.
Yeah. Yeah. I was very thrown off by his reveal of what he was actually doing there and why.
Mm. Yeah. So, yeah, so it was a little bit like, okay, that's weird. It would have, like, if he had some, like, you know, Machiavellian plan of his own, but it behooved him to work with the Legends.
Could have, I don't know.
Yeah, but, like, maybe yeah. he will. Maybe he'll reveal himself to have one, yeah. So, I don't know. Either way, I just thought that was, like, a little bit odd. Also, we didn't get enough Ava and Bayrod after their moment. Astra and Bayrod after their moment! Last episode. So, I was like, okay, I would like more now, please. And also the fact that it is like a two-parter and like the whole episode this time was like revving up to actually making the plan work in order to then get the Robo Legends next episode. I was like, I feel like we could have condensed it a little bit, though I still enjoyed the ride. The last few episodes have been like pretty like fast-paced and like have like moved things along really quickly. And also kind of felt self-contained. So like it was like odd to have one episode that did not feel that way. But that's all.
Yeah, I agree with that. I feel like compared to the previous few episodes, which were just really fun, like self-contained stories and entertaining, but this one is like, oh, now we're back to the plot. And it kind of like slowed down a little bit. So yeah, I definitely agree with that. And I also agree about Eobard. The whole like he's now a good guy who just like voluntarily decided to protect the timeline is kind of weird. And I don't, and the fact that he is stopping time and not just like moving really fast was also weird to me. Like, why? What was the reason? I guess so that Sarah would be able to fight him or whatever. He had to stop time and not use speed. But it felt slightly overcomplicated, and it felt like they were like square peg round holing it or round peg square hole, whatever. To get Eobard to fit into the space that he needed to fit to make this plot work. Short story. Some more Bayrod and Astra. I really liked their little cute interactions. I feel like I could have used more. Like they would go off and then the camera would not follow them. But I also understand that the Legends writers are like, this episode is not for the heteros. I gotta respect it. Whatever. The whole like Gen Z time travelers were annoying, you know, them versus the millennial legends or whatever, but they came around at the end, so it's fine. Yeah.
The idea that Gen Z would think millennials are old is like, it's just so sad. Excuse me? But yeah, I agree about Thawne, and I mean, this will lead into like my predictions. I don't buy what he's selling. To be honest, because it just feels weird that the time wraiths or the dark flash or whatever the fuck took him away last time would just be like, you know, you've been a bad boy. And he's like, yes, I know I have. I will right my ways. I will try to prevent people from trying to change time. Doesn't fit with what we've just seen of Thawne in like Armageddon. I'm like, where are the
that was like destroying here? The future.
Yeah. So it just doesn't. it just doesn't make any sense on that in that respect, because Bond,
I would buy it more if he was just there to just like fuck with all the people that are trying to change it just to be like funny and be an asshole. That would be fun to me.
Yeah, exactly. It's so I don't know how I feel about this very mellowed out song. It just is very weird, even though I love that Matt Letcher's back. I'm like, no, let him be diabolical. So hopefully he has something else up his sleeve. But do we have any feedback for this episode?
We do. Let's start with
Song is back.
Song. Legends, really be collecting the queers like Pokemon cards. When we say queers gravitate to one another, this is what we mean. We have a lesbian, a bi man, a bi woman, a gay man, and now an asexual woman of color. The way this show is just so absurd, it holds onto their emotional scenes so very well. Zari's gentle words of affirmation towards Spooner's newly realized identity felt so organic and real. Ava's talk to Gwyn about God wanting his people to experience love and acceptance is something I think many people of faith need to hear. Yes, that's very true. The way this episode had funny beats of Sarah trying to stop the assassins, coupled with the emotional beats of the characters' interactions, there really is no show like it. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's like, let me think of a show, but it's fine. No, I agree. Also, they had the superior thought on screen. So, why do I feel like they won't get their ship back? It's 40 minutes. That feels very unrealistic. Also, that deal with Thawne to be
the custodian. It's also an entire episode, so I feel like...
Yeah. To be the custodian of that fixed point. Why do I feel like someone from the crew is going to take his place? Ooh! Someone from the crew
taking like his place? Trampling over my prediction. All along, yeah.
Uh-oh. Suara said, Legends was so good. Yay, Ace Spooner. That scene between her and Zari was so wonderful, as was their whole building of friendship. Seeing that clear declaration of Ace representation is going to mean so much to people watching. Yep. What? What are your thoughts?
No. Continue, and then okay. I'll expand.
Okay. Legends, along with much of DCTV, continues to push the standard on representation. The plot was hilarious and smart, and I love the bar of time travelers. It honestly makes perfect sense that would happen. Loved Ava helping Gwyn accept his homosexuality as nothing to be ashamed of, even to the Christian God. That was wonderful to watch, and just the performance was so heartfelt. Redeem Thawne protecting the timeline? Honestly, I can dig it, and it's so great to have Matt Letcher back in the role. Him being the key to help Sarah, who tried dozens of times to stop the assassins, to finally succeed in making it look like she did to lure evil Gideon and Robot Legends was great. Wow. And next week should be an exciting time. Looking forward to it. And I think that is all our feedback on Legends.
Beautiful. What are our predictions?
Yes. What were you owing about?
I don't know if they will do this because there's a time age gap involved, but I'm wondering, because we had this whole thing about like Gwyn and Ava, and Ava's like, you deserve love. You'll find a way to save both. And I'm wondering what if they can't, but because they need someone to stay behind, Gwyn will volunteer to stay there as like the fixed point custodian. Cause that, you know, that way he can stay in a time period where Alan is alive and he can have all the time that he wants with him in that fixed point. Cause I feel like they wouldn't leave any of the legends there. So I feel like he's like he would be the optimum choice, and he has a reason to stay there.
I like it. I buy it. Mine was just that Thawne planned all along for someone to take his place.
That could be true.
He's not there voluntarily.
He's not there voluntarily. Oh, okay. Yeah. He's pretending to be nice, and then he's just like, now you be in the hellhole forever.
Exactly. Yeah.
That would make much more sense.
Yeah. All right. Moving on to Batwoman. Batwoman's hands are full as she juggles Gia's demands, which require her to take the little Joker's buzzer in exchange for Marcus by midnight, and then Mary's ever-increasing power and a new romantic entanglement with Sophie that she's trying to ignore all episode. Mary is getting the life force sucked out of her by Poison Ivy, and then when she finally does come to, she realizes she did kill someone when she was, you know, tripping on her powers. And then loyalties are also tested and motives come into question as Batwoman races against the clock to once again save the city and those closest to her and this episode officially wraps up the Poison Ivy and Renee Montoya saga that has been going on Batwoman as they head to Coriana, where Poison Ivy can live amongst the plants and a nation where they will not bother her and she can be just hanging out with a bunch of women. Good times. Well, what sparked joy?
I will say for their ending and the fact that they were, the writers were determined to end Pam and Renee together. I like that their ending was on a plane to Coriana, because now we get more Desert Rose and you have like a whole island to yourself. Everybody respects plants. She don't have to be an eco terrorist no more. So I feel like that was an acceptable end for their characters and one that both characters could be happy about. So that's good. I liked the premise of Mary and Pam working together and Pam coaching Mary on how to be a villain, how to lean into that and how to be more like Pam, and how their paths kind of get divergent a little bit when Pam is like, now it's going to be truly crazy. And Mary's like, wait a minute, I just thought we were playing crazy. And kind of like, you know, Mary really kind of sees the difference between herself and Pam a little bit. I liked all of the awkwardness, like with Ryan and the fact that she just, you know, every time like Sophie comes in, she just forgets how to talk. And she's like, I don't really know what to say or what to do. And the fact that she was kind of like, so I'm just going to run and like avoid the situation. I feel like Sophie continues to have, and Megan Tandy has like amazingly like comedic timing. Like when Mary was being an asshole and she was like roasting everybody and she called Sophie like unemployment queen. And Sophie's like, I just got here. The way like Megan delivered it was just like hilarious. She's like, hey, I just standing here. It got hit by, you know, random shots hit her. I just think that, you know, she's just kind of like the queen of making normal things really funny in the scene. I liked Alice. I also like Alice and Sophie because I feel like Alice just wants so badly to be Sophie's like best friend. And she keeps like invading like Sophie's kind of like privacy a little bit in terms of like, you know, listening in on her conversations, reading all of her text messages and stuff like she feels like she and Sophie are best friends, but she's the only one that feels that way. So I like that dynamic a lot. I like the fact that Alice for once was a little, Alice had something that she wanted to hold on to in terms of bringing Mary back. And that's what kept her around on the team, even though she and Ryan kind of like paralleled themselves in the sense that they were both trying to like run away from truths and each one could see the truth in the other. So I thought that dynamic was pretty cool. I really liked Luke getting back in the Batwing suit. And I like when he is in the dam, whatever, and he gets like pulled up by vines. It's another like PTSD moment. And he doesn't have his dad there to talk him through it or anything. He's going to kind of like figure it out himself, and watching him calm himself down and then, you know, succeed in doing what he wants to do, I thought that was a really great moment for him. I like that Mary, you know, I was right. It took a minute. It took two episodes, but she did. Pam did drain her, and now she is regular Mary again. I was surprised that they committed to it being Mary that killed the hunter and not having it be like a surprise. It was actually Pam that killed him. Because like, I was like, you know, if she does do that, how's she going to come back from that? And I think it works in the sense that she didn't know it at the time and that it was an accident. And I feel like it's good for Mary in the sense that if she was allowed to be Poison Mary for episodes and do all this like crazy stuff and then come back with no consequences, that wouldn't have been like, what lesson would you have learned? So I do think it is, you know, even though I'm like, now she has a body on her record as far as her killing somebody, it's also these are your consequences. If you want to go out, I don't know. I feel like I'm the only one that's like on TikTok. So I feel like when I say like TikTok trends, they're always like, what? But you know, like you want to bamba, you want to achieve with the big boys. Like that's what Mary's trying to do. Like listen to be Poison Ivy. But you try to be Poison Ivy, you get Poison Ivy consequences. And now she has to deal with that. So I think hopefully that'll be something interesting for her going forward in future episodes.
Yes, I agree with everything that you have said, pretty much. For my own likes, first off, I liked that we got to have a little bit of a team up between Mary and Poison Ivy prior to the destruction of all of Mary's hopes and dreams and the return of all of my hopes and dreams in regular Mary. And I also liked, like, even that little part where, like, Mary was, like, getting into it, like, yeah, I gotta fight the injustices of the healthcare system. And then suddenly, Pamela saying, like, okay, well, but first we're gonna go do this, because this factory blew up my bro. But I did like that we also got, like, more about that backstory and Pam, like, sharing her side of the story so that we see much more of the, like, personal side of it. It's not just like, well, I love plants, and therefore I am an eco-terrorist.
Right.
Also, I'm pretty sure, like Mary said, I'm not trying to be a renaissance, right?
Yes, she did. Yes.
That was so funny. I laugh so much.
I love that.
I did love that Alice came to the Bat Team to save Mary and that she was willing, you know, to lose like Mary as her friend slash sister, partner in crime in order to get the real Mary back because she does have real affection for the real Mary now. Also glad I liked that they called on Renee. So there's like this like whole like passive aggressive, like reluctant help between them with Renee still being like, I'm not betraying Pam again, but also I can't, you know, let all these people die. So we're trying to find a middle ground here. And then Luke brought in Sophie and Sophie and Ryan were so awkward that for a second I forgot that they had kissed. And then I was like, wait a second, but they kissed. What is this? until it was like resolved with a cute little Ryan being like, you got me more in my head. Not you didn't get me out of my head. And Sophie enjoyed that. So yeah, I also love the part where Ryan and Alice were like bonding also reluctantly on Ryan's side. And then Alice is like commenting on the Renee, Sophie, Ryan situation as they're like, they're listening in and Alice is like, oh my God, who is she talking about? Oh, every girl on the playground knows that you like each other. And yeah, and then the way that Alice so dramatically revealed that Mary is a murderer was great. I loved that as well, even though I do not.
Oh, you know what else was hilarious? Them chasing the ambulance and Ryan trying to tell the guy to stop. He's like, I can't. She has to go. She needs medical attention. And she's like, stop the man.
Also, I did love. That is also great. As is Luke bat winging it and getting his head in the game. I did like the scene between Jada and Batwoman and the whole, like, you know, deal to bring the Joker buzzer, like, to bring back her son by midnight for the Joker buzzer.
She didn't know that was Ryan.
Yeah, I forgot and was also something I'm going to talk about in my lack of joy. But yeah, but I did like that scene despite that. And then at the end, the twist, you know, like, well, you missed the deadline, so I guess you're ready for the consequences. And the consequences are she's about to turn Batwoman. She's about to turn Gotham against Batwoman. Batwoman into Gotham's villain. So there we go.
So I, yeah, pretty much liked the same things. I thought this episode was another strong one. In general, I really liked that Ryan was avoiding Mary because she didn't really know what to say to her or how things will progress because she's like, you kissing me did not shut my mind down. It like made me get in my head even more. So like the struggle is really real. And I like that this happened because it means that it's just another step in the slow burn until they can finally be in a relationship because Ryan still has a lot going on. But I really like the fact that she just doesn't know what to do. She's like a deer caught in a headlight. She's like, Sophie, kiss me. And I don't know how to react. But I also like the fact that she and Alice actually had a moment to chat. Like, I feel like they have an interesting relationship now where they just go back and forth. And sometimes they admit things to each other. But when Alice is like, oh, this is going to mean you're going to give me like a glowing recommendation for my release, right? She's like, no, good. You're on your own. But thanks for your assistance. But I do like that now at least they have something in common, which is like they both care about Mary and they teamed up to get her back. And the fact that like Alice, she just kept drinking. She's like, I'm going to be over here drinking. And then after that, she was drinking. Ryan asked her to drive the Batmobile. I'm like, this is not safe. But just their whole conversation and Alice feeling so down about losing Mary and, you know, her even like having killed someone. She's like, it's almost like she's like, this is not the Mary that I know, the Mary that I connected with. So I feel like it's just a lot of great progress for her and the fact that she's having these feelings towards Mary and wanting to be protective of her. So all of that was really great. I love that just the constant bickering, the back and forth conversations with everyone is just so great on the show. And having even like Renee there and the whole dynamic between all of them and even like that some of the tension because Ryan still can't seem to get over the fact that like Sophie and Renee slept together, just a little bit salty. So all of that is great. And I especially like that Luke was able to be like, I'm not fully ready to wear the bat suit, the batwing suit, but I'm going to help you anyway. So I'm going to wear it. And then he had that like silent moment where he's just like, just my voice, like listen to my voice and not, you know, and imagining anybody else's. And also that we got flashbacks to the moments that gave him PTSD, which is really nice because it almost seems like the show had forgotten about that storyline completely with all the Mary, you know, Marcus stuff. So that was a really nice moment for him. And even like getting a little bit more of Pam's backstory, it felt a little bit Mr. Robot to me. It's like, yes, there's this factory and the factory had chemicals and chemicals killed my mom. It's probably a story, unfortunately, a lot of people have also, but it was just really sad to learn, but also kind of putting it into context why she was doing the things that she was doing with regards to this dam specifically. Her and Mary teaming up very briefly was really nice. It felt like we had moved on from the Renee Pam stuff because last week was, you know, declared toxic relationship zone and Pam's like, I don't need her. You're my new girl. We're going to do all this together. So that was really nice while it lasted anyway. And that Mary got to also wear her suit again because it looked great.
All right, she needed to get her money's worth out of that suit. She wouldn't do anything with it.
What else? And Jada just being like so gung-ho about wanting to save her son. She's like, no, must save Marcus. He's my son. You know, this and that. And her going head-to-head with Batwoman and not just, you know, previously they took Wayne Enterprises away from Ryan and now she's about to turn the whole city against her. So I feel like the stakes are being raised and that was just, she's just not someone to be messed with. And I love that about her, even though it brings pain to Ryan, but I think that it's escalating very nicely. What did not spark joy?
You know, it's funny, even though they're not like in the same area or on the same page at all, Jada and Marcus are both aligned in making Ryan's life miserable.
Yeah.
Yeah. So things that I didn't like. I thought we did this last week. I thought Renee, you know, came to this conclusion last week that this is a toxic relationship. And I thought that they broke up. So to see this episode and Renee is like actively planning to run away, like she's a fugitive with Pam and Mary, they were like looking for her getaway car or whatever, and the fact that, you know, she didn't go to the Bat Team voluntarily, they had to find her, and then she's like, I'm not snitching, and then she's like infused that Pam is like, before we run off together, let me go blow up this dam real quick. All that is like, it's, she's confused by Pam and I'm just confused by like, why are you confused, because we had this conversation last week when he said it was toxic and I was like, yeah girl, it's toxic, you need to leave. So yeah, I have complicated feelings about, you know, because the writers obviously were proud of their Renee Pam storytelling and the fact that it was complicated and how they ended it. Good for them, the writers, if that's what they feel about it. I don't know if it's how I feel about it. I mean, they managed to patch it up quite well in that they ended in Coriana, but just the fact that this was a repeat issue, like their thing on the plane was a repeat issue. And when like Renee put, like opened the door of the plane, she's like, you want to go? Go, jump. I half expected Pam to just be like, you know what? Bye. And like fall on the plane. I've got very complicated feelings about how that relationship and how it ended and what it's saying, if it's supposed to say anything at all. Yeah. I think that was like my main.
That was your main takeaway.
I guess like if I was getting a pick, I don't really think it was necessary for Alice and Ryan to eavesdrop on Sophie and Renee, just because we didn't really learn a lot of new information. Like Renee insinuated that she was Sophie's second choice. It didn't change how Ryan felt in the moment. It just made her already uncomfortable. So I don't really know that we needed it, other than just another example of Alice just invading people's personal space and personal privacy. And then I also didn't like Mary being like, they saved you. And she's like, I told you not to talk to me. He's like, and you know, you're a crazy person and you got daddy issues and da-da-da-da, like all this, like she's just being mean for no reason. They just like saved you and now you're just like, I'm gonna be mean. She's like unnecessarily mean. And like, even as funny as it was, it's selfish, it's like someone comes like you say hello, it's like, that's why your daddy left you. Like, it's just like it's unnecessary, Mary. So yeah.
That's hilarious. I just, you know, I had a good time with the eavesdropping, but I agree that it could have been better. Or I mean, it would have been more useful if it had come before the kiss, because now it's, like, kind of resolved anyway. So it's like, eh.
Yeah.
But anyway, aside from that, while you were correct, and I love that for you, Pam feeding off of Mary's energy, and then she's just, like, leaving her on the street, and then that's the end of Poison Mary. I was like, oh, I would have liked for, I mean, for her to go out a different way, maybe. Although at least, at the very least, I can say, at least Mary had decided that she was going to do, like, she went out, like, at the last minute, choosing to do good, so I guess it's good. But mm-hmm. At first I was like, ugh, I don't like this. I'm glad they turned it around, though, I will say that. Also, the scene on the rooftop with Jada and Batwoman, and Jada doesn't realize that that's your daughter. Like, Ryan's not even changed her voice. She has the same hair. Like,
just, so how close do you not...
Exactly! How do you not realize that that's your daughter? So that was a bit like, okay, sure. I also didn't like that it took Mary killing someone to, like, turn things around. For her to be like, oh, I killed somebody? Because she was all on her high horse of whatever. And then it's like, oh, wait, actually, I did murder someone. Take it back. I will. Would have liked for that not to have been necessary. But, you know, sometimes you got to kill someone to realize that you have gone too far, I guess. It just also just feels like such a big, like, from, like, all the nonsense that she was doing before that to then, like, and then murder. Okay. Also, with the, like, yeah, I agree with you guys about the Renee, Pamela, Poison Ivy storyline. I don't feel like I ever got enough to root for that relationship. And then they really exposed just how bad of a relationship it was in the previous episode, only for it to come back around with Renee still just, like, wanting to continue to be second best to Plants. I guess. Cool. So I don't really, like, I guess it's cool that they're going to Coriana, like, maybe there'll be a storyline there, but I don't like Pam, and I don't see any reason to like her. I don't think that Coriana's going to change that, so I would have preferred for Renee to turn her in and just let her go. Go to jail. I also can't imagine what kind of deal she negotiated for her release. Like, what?
I was going to say, probably to go to Coriana and stay there, I imagine. Mm-hmm. Never come back.
Yeah, but, like, what kind of, like, why would the government be like, yes, or the police?
Well, I don't think it was a deal with the government. I think it was a deal with Ryan.
Oh, okay. Well, then I guess that's fine. But, like, I feel like the people, like, police should be after her. Like, she's just trying to blow up this building, but whatever, it doesn't matter. So I'm just imagining, they'd be like, oh, but you're
reflecting. I do wonder where she got that big-ass plane from. Like, who paid for that?
Exactly! Where did this plane come from? That seems
that
like
was a military-grade plane.
Exactly! That's why I thought it was, like, some kind of, like... Or, like, you know, if it was, like, some Peacemaker style, like, okay, well, we've got a mission for you guys. If you're gonna be free, you gotta go do this, maybe. But anyway. Okay, so that's all we know. Last thing is just that, like, at the end with Marcus, like, waking up with, like, the one drop of water that was, like, directly above him, fell on him. And I was like, y'all did not think this through, clearly. Because he's thawing out right now for no reason. The end.
Yeah, I agree about the Pam Renee stuff because it. I feel like they wanted to really, really give them a happy ending, even though the build-up towards that happy ending could have been better, like, if they had expanded upon, you know, their relationship, or at least them trying to work it out, versus Renee always trying to give Pam ultimatums. It's like, it's the plants or me, Pam, you gotta choose. And Pam's always like, I'm gonna choose the plants. And I don't know why you would want to be in a relationship that doesn't prioritize you, but Renee has her reasons, I guess. But I feel like I grew more attached to Renee than I did to her and their relationship, like her relationship with Pam. So I feel like I want better for Renee in general. And I don't feel like this ending necessarily gave me that, because I, like, Pam was there and stuff and it was cool for a little while, but I wasn't really invested in her as a character. And so, I don't know, it was just kind of underwhelming. And the Mary stuff too is just, I'm glad that she has consequences moving forward, but I'm still a little bit underwhelmed about just the fact that she's still on the whole, no one listens to me, I'm so, you know, ignored and all this other stuff. Like, these people went to great lengths to save you because they care about you. And so the first thing you do when you get up is being like, leave me alone. It was just, I don't know. I was like, this ungrateful child.
Right?
So, I don't know. I just wanted her to react a little bit differently. Like, I don't need her to automatically be so grateful and, you know, lose all of that anger that she had. But at the very least, recognize that they did save you, even though you clearly didn't want to be saved. But it didn't make sense that she didn't want to be saved, because Pam was clearly trying to take her powers and try to kill people, and she knew that. So to want to go back to that is also strange. So even the shock of her killing someone is like, is it a shock, Mary? I mean, you were, like, going to help Pam.
Like, yeah, like, what did you think being a supervillain meant?
So I don't know. I just, you know, I hope that they do something really great with her story going forward. Like, we can have those conversations between her and the team, but we will see how that goes. Otherwise, it just didn't, like, I feel like there are parts of it that could have been done better with regards to Mary's feelings over everything, because I still feel like she's acting like a temperamental teenager after this long, without kind of having adult conversations about what is actually hurting her. So hopefully that changes. Do we have any feedback for the episode?
That we do. And we will begin with Swara, who said, Batwoman was so good. What a fight at the dam. It was kind of weird that Poison Ivy wanted to destroy a renewable source of energy. But I suppose the point is she's lost sight of what's the best thing for the environment.
Well, she has been, like, desiccated for 10 years, and maybe she doesn't know.
Yeah, well, yeah, maybe she doesn't know what that is. She would not care about human lives to protect all plants and animals, to be honest. But anyway, it was a great fight Batwoman and Batwing had with her, and they got Mary back. Appealing to Mary's medical morals to get her to return was fantastically done. We're definitely not done with Poison Mary yet, and there may be something similar done with Killer Frost here, albeit significantly better and thought out with an actual plan for her character. Seeing Luke overcome his fears and assert his control over the suit was great. Ryan dealing with her feelings for Sophie, Pam and Renee flying to Coriana. They'll be back somehow for sure. I absolutely love this episode. I can't wait for the return of Marcus / New Joker next week. And next up, we have feedback from Sonia. Once again, this was a great episode of Batwoman. Love finally getting to see Poison Mary do more than just sit and drink free champagne. I liked her talking with that insurance guy, because I'm not going to say I didn't agree with her.
Yeah, that was a good moment for her.
Love Alice coming to the Bat team for help, because it truly shows how much she loves and cares about Mary. Love when Pam said her mother got really into herbal remedies. I loved when Alice was like, our psycho killer is going to show you what you can do with a lemon zester. Trust me, I've done worse with less. Hilarious, and reminds me of the scene in Supergirl when Alex said, I know 6 different painful ways to get you to tell me who Guardian is. It's so funny that Ryan was like, we need time to figure out how to use the Joker buzzer properly. And Jada agreed. But then she was like, I want my son back at midnight. Like, girl, please. Alice wanting to protect Mary from the fact that she accidentally killed someone was very sweet and unlike Alice. Maybe she's growing as a character because of her relationship with Mary. Renee using her pheromone antidote with Mary. I forgot to say that. That was good. That was smart of Renee. So Renee using her pheromone antidote on Mary so that when Pam took her powers, she got poisoned was so smart. Yes, totally agree. Loved Luke getting over his PTSD and kicking ass. Yay, Luke. Please go to therapy. my Hamill Vlogs heart when Luke picked Mary up and got her out of the dam. I love it. Also, the water from the dam reviving Marcus. OMG, I can't wait to see the next episode and the fallout from this. So lots of excitement here. And then we've got Shang. That woman feedback. Poison Ivy tutoring Mary on Villainy 101. Cute. At her core, I still think Mary doesn't want to hurt anybody. But with power comes great responsibility and abuse. Also, Mary hurting a selfish-ass man. He deserved it, though. Environmentalists and healthcare advocates. What not to stand. Their ways were a little violent, and perhaps a little scare would do the higher classes some good. You know? Cough, cough. Ryan's gay panic whenever Sophie is around. Mood. Felt that to my core. They had their episode title as Toxic, and not once did Britney Spears
play. I know. Wasting that is activity. A travesty. That is a huge no joy.
I agree. Glad the Bat team brought Mary back to their side. Low-key wish the Supergirl writers made the same choices during the Lena Kara feud. I felt it was a pretty decent way to wrap up the storyline, though I feel Mary would need to grapple with her killing someone later on. I'm sure she will. I would hope so. Honestly, that whole I don't kill of that heroes have, how do you know the robber that you smashed the window didn't die from bleeding? Just saying.
True.
Floriana, who gave a visa for that? Because I'm pretty sure it isn't Sophia. All right, and that's that on feedback.
Beautiful. The visa. That's hilarious. do we have any predictions?
No.
I sense that. Yeah. All right. We're just going to, you know, see where the story takes us.
Exactly. We're gonna
what episode are we on? How many episodes do we have left?
I think we're on 10 right now.
So there's 3 left, right?
I think.
Oh, wow.
I think there were 15. Are there 13? They never really confirmed, so I guess we really don't know.
Flying by the
But that makes pants. Sense since they're, like, gearing up for Marcus.
Gearing up for Marcus is, like, yeah. Big return.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, exciting times ahead.
I wonder if we will ever find out who her dad, Ryan's dad, is.
I did think that it was Diggle for a brief second.
I know. Uh-huh. And we had like an anon. I was like, is Diggle Ryan's dad? I was like, you know what? It's unclear.
It was just, they were giving off vibes. I'm like, what happened? And like, I feel like at some point they're going to have to reveal who that is because they can't just leave us hanging like that. But anyway, hopefully that would be a season 4 problem. Lady of Gumption of the Week from Naomi Legends and Batwoman. Who do we choose from each?
I feel like Lourdes for Naomi because she's mm-hmm. the one that had all the bright ideas.
Yep. I agree with that. And then for Legends, I mean, Sarah went through
Sarah,
a lot.
Yeah. She died multiple times for the cause.
Yeah. And then Batwoman. Mary for standing up to Poison Ivy.
Ooh,
Renee for coming up with the
Poison Ivy.
Alice for going behind Mary's back to save Mary from herself.
Okay. I will accept that. Who wins?
Are you gonna say something? Maybe?
I was gonna say Ryan.
Oh.
for what?
I don't know. Working with her, the enemy, getting through her emotions while also getting the buzzer and saving Mary at the same time.
You wow. convinced me last week, but not this week.
Yeah.
Okay, you tried. All right, that's fair.
You tried. All right.
Okay.
So,
who is the lady champion overall? Big winner. I would say Sarah.
I was going to say Alice.
Oh, okay. Hmm.
Because I feel like this is a lot for Alice to...
That's true.
...to go, to okay. go back into the lion's den that she's been trying to escape forever. Because so, she could have like, went off to Santorini without Mary if she really wanted to.
That's true. I agree that character-wise, Alice probably wins. Because, like, for Sarah, it's just, like...
Another day.
She had to deal with a lot, but she always does. So I agree with Alice.
That's true. All right, Alice for Lady with Gumption of the Week. Stay tuned to us next week, where we will come back and discuss the same three shows with new episodes. And until and of course, before I forget, we're still going to discuss You Season 3 on our next Patreon episode. So if you're interested in that, you can send us feedback after the fact or sign up to listen to You Season 3. And until next week, everybody, take care and goodbye.
Bye.